time now for the Saturday Morning News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. Today's WFIW weather calling for sunny skies, a high near 87, partly cloudy tonight, a 30% chance of showers and storms, a low near 68. I'm Darren Cuddle reporting. The Wayne County Health Department reported two more positive cases of coronavirus in the county on Friday. The latest cases are a female child and a female in her 40s. There have now been 59 lab-confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 in Wayne County. One person has since passed away. Two people are currently hospitalized. 21 people are isolating at home, and 35 have recovered. The Wayne County Health Department continues to investigate each case, ensuring the isolation of the positive patient. In addition, Wayne County Health Department places close contacts that have had exposure to the positive patient on quarantine for at least 14 days, allowing symptoms to develop and pass without posing risk to others. If you're contacted by public health officials, you should respond promptly. More news after this break.
An estate auction and coin auction will be held Saturday, August 8th at 9 a.m. at the Indoor Air Conditioned Exhibition Hall at the Wayne County Fairgrounds in Fairfield. Auction highlights include antiques and collectibles, primitives, over 150 jadeite items, custardware, yellowware, colored glassware, vintage bedroom suites, clean household, over 80 ladies' hats, 15 inaugural Barbies, jewelry, lawn and garage, tools and more. Two auctioneers, two auction rings. Barnard Auctions, Barkley Barnard, Mark Barnard Auctioneers.
The top five reasons to drive for KMA. Number five, free health clinic. Number four, paid holidays. Number three, monthly attendance and safety bonus. Number two, no hazmat, no jackstand moves, and higher mounted airlines for easier access. And the number one reason, you will be home daily. KMA is now hiring. Call 833-237-8929. That's 833-BEST-WAY today.
The Illinois Department of Public Health Friday announced 2,084 new cases of coronavirus in Illinois and 21 additional deaths. The IDPH reporting a total of 190,508 cases, including 7,613 deaths in all 102 Illinois counties. Within the past 24 hours, laboratories have reported 46,869 specimens for a total of 2,984,618. The preliminary 7-day statewide positivity for cases as a percent of total tests from July 31st to August 6th is 4.1%. As of Thursday night, 1,486 people in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 333 patients were in the ICU and 125 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. The Illinois Department of Public Health also reported Friday 13 counties in Illinois are considered to be at a warning level for the coronavirus. A county enters a warning level when two or more COVID-19 risk indicators that measure the amount of COVID-19 increase. Counties in our area that are at the warning level include Saline, Jackson, Perry, and Williamson counties. Reports out of Jefferson County Friday said another long-term Jefferson County care facility is experiencing a COVID-19 outbreak. The facility was not named by the Jefferson County Health Department, but the report said that 21 long-term care residents at the facility and 6 staff members have tested positive for the coronavirus. Along with the 27 people connected with the facility, 5 other Jefferson County residents tested positive Friday, bringing to 32 the number of cases in Jefferson County on Friday. The total cases in Jefferson County since the start of the pandemic is now at 265. There are 59 cases active and currently in isolation. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced Friday that the Illinois Department of Public Health will file emergency rules for businesses, schools, and child care establishments regarding the use of face coverings and the size of gatherings. The governor also signed a bill to help protect workers who continue to serve on the front lines of the fight against COVID-19. The governor said in a press release Friday, as he's visited with and listened to mayors and health departments all across the state, it's clear there is still even a greater need to get people to wear masks, especially to protect frontline workers, whether they're at the front of a store asking you to put on your mask, or whether they're responding to the 911 calls to save those in distress. These rules, which provide multiple opportunities for compliance before any penalty is issued, are a common sense way to enforce public health guidelines. Illinois has made substantial progress in our fight against COVID-19 because the vast majority of communities and business owners have done the right thing. These rules will help ensure that the minority of people who refuse to act responsibly won't take our state backward, unquote. The rules will provide multiple opportunities for compliance before any penalty is issued, giving local health departments and local law enforcement more leeway to support community public health in a productive manner. While existing pre-pandemic enforcement laws like revoking a license are stringent and severe, the rules provide flexibility for local communities and a measured process to help people stay safe. The process is as follows. First, businesses will be given a warning in the form of a written notice and encouraged to voluntarily comply with public health guidance. Second, businesses that do not voluntarily comply will be given an order to have some or all of their patrons leave the premises as needed to comply with public health guidance and reduce risks. Third, if a business continues to refuse to comply, the business can receive a Class A misdemeanor and be subject to a fine ranging from $75 up to $2,500. These rules do not apply to individuals, and penalties will not exceed a misdemeanor and a $75 to $2,500 fine. The emergency rules also reinforce the authority of the IDPH and local health departments to investigate COVID-19 cases and reaffirm that businesses have a responsibility to cooperate with those investigations. The governor also signed Senate Bill 471 Friday. As Illinois' essential workers continue to serve on the front lines of the fight against COVID-19, the governor signed the measure to expand workplace protections to directly protect workers in retail. The law adds a penalty for assaulting or battering a retail worker who is conveying public health guidance, such as requiring patrons to wear face coverings or promoting social distancing. The provision sends the message that it's vitally important for workers to both be respected and protected while serving on the front lines. The law also increases paid disability leave for any injury that occurs after March 9th by 60 days for firefighters, law enforcement, and paramedics whose recovery was hindered by COVID-19. More specifically, eligible employees include any part-time or full-time state correctional officer or any other full or part-time employee of the Department of Corrections, any full or part-time employee of the Prisoner Review Board, any full or part-time employee of the Department of Human Services working within a penal institution or a state mental health or developmental disabilities facility operated by the Department of Human Services, and any full-time law enforcement officer or full-time firefighter. The measure takes effect immediately. In other news, Little Wabash River east of Fairfield, as of this morning at 23.88 feet, flood stage is 17 feet. At Clay City, the stage is 20 feet, flood stage 18 feet. At Carmine, the river's at 20.24 feet, flood stage is 27 feet. Skillet Fork at Wayne City at 5.68 feet, flood stage is 15 feet. And the Wabash at Mount Carmel at 8.94 feet, flood stage is 19 feet. The annual Sisney reunion wraps up today with a full day of activities. Reunion co-president Catherine Baker runs down some of the activities going on today.
Saturday starts off early. We will be setting up for the 5K and the fun run at 6 a.m. So fun run starts at 6 a.m. to 7 is registration for 5K and fun run. At 6:30, they do the 1 mile fun run. And then at 8 o'clock, we will have our Sisney 5K.
Illinois State Police District 19 Commander Captain Nathan Douglas has announced the ISP will conduct occupant restraint enforcement patrols in Wayne and White counties during late August and early September. The patrols allow the state police to focus on seatbelt and child safety seat laws. Safety belts are still one of the most effective safety devices in vehicles, according to state police, estimated to save nearly 14,000 lives each year. Natural gas prices in Illinois are as low as they've been in a very long time. Bernie Anderson with Nicor Gas says there's a lot of gas on the market, but not a lot is being sold. That's why Nicor's rate is down to 24 cents per therm this summer. People's Gas is even less at around 20 cents per therm. Anderson's advice for customers who think now's a good time to lock in low prices in long-term contracts.
They would have to talk to the suppliers and see how that goes. And what I would always ask our customers to do is just make sure you're well-educated when you start selecting a supplier. And I really encourage them to go to NicorGas.com and type in customer select in the search engine, and that'll give you all the information you need to know and the questions to be asking.
Anderson says the way things look now, the market for natural gas looks stable. In other words, prices are likely to stay low over the winter. Fairfield Lions Club will collect Christmas lights that no longer work from 9 a.m. to noon today at the west entrance of Fairfield's First United Methodist Church. In addition to Christmas lights, the club will also accept donations of eyeglasses, hearing aids, empty ink cartridges, cell phones, soda tabs, and keys. The United Way of South Central Illinois and the City of Fairfield partnering to host a mobile market from 10 a.m. to noon today. The drive-through pickup event is a way for local residents to receive fresh produce and dairy products free of charge and will be held on Northeast 3rd Street by the Wayne County Courthouse. People should drive onto Northeast 3rd from East Court Street and stay in their vehicles while volunteers place the care packages. Once the items are loaded, people will exit Northeast 3rd onto East Main. And the 101st annual, that is, Bone Gap Chowder being held today at the Bone Gap Chowder grounds due to COVID-19. This year's event will be drive-through only and sales will be by the gallon, $18 per gallon. People should have their checks or cash ready as they pull up. The Chowder Committee asks that people not bring their own containers, as a food-grade container for the soup, along with the lid, will be provided. Personal containers will not be filled. That's news. Area deaths next.
Others have come and gone in the past 70 years, but our dedication to superior service and free delivery has helped us thrive for four generations at Rush Appliance in Fairfield and Carmine. We deliver our quality products for free, and then if you ever call us for service, we're in your driveway almost before you hang up your phone. This is Sean Rush inviting you to manage your home the way you want, easier, faster, and smarter with Rush Appliance and Furniture Company in downtown Fairfield and Carmine.
Are you stressing about where money will come from in the future? Come into Trust Bank and they can help. They have retirement plans, investment accounts, health savings accounts, and more. Call them today at 618-395-4311 or stop by their Sisney branch at 401 Park Street for more information. Trust Bank, growing prosperity together. Member FDIC.
Area deaths are brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 72-year-old Stephen W. Wheeler died August 7th following an extended illness. He was born in McLeansboro. Survivors include his wife, Elizabeth Williams, and a daughter, Shelby K. Wheeler, three brothers, Tommy D. Wheeler of Buckner, Illinois, Wendell L. Wheeler of Carbondale, and Scott V. Wheeler of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, stepchildren, Brandy Wheeler of Raleigh, North Carolina, and Neil Wheeler of Moorhead City, North Carolina, and two grandchildren. Visitation for Stephen W. Wheeler will be Sunday at the Golson Funeral Home in McLeansboro from 1 to 3 p.m. Graveside service will be held immediately following at the Independent Order of Oddfellows Cemetery in McLeansboro. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Fresnes Kidney Care at 825 Sunset Avenue in DuCoin. The Golson Funeral Home in McLeansboro in charge of the arrangements. 100-year-old Fairfield resident Orrin Wells died at 7:10 p.m. Thursday at his home. He had been a mechanic and owned O'Leary's Garage from 1988 to 1995. He was also a U.S. Army Air Force veteran serving in World War II and a member of the Sims Missionary Baptist Church. Surviving are nine nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Orrin Wells will be Tuesday at 1 p.m. at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield, burial in Maple Hill Cemetery. Visitation from 11 a.m. Tuesday till the time of service. Memorials may be made to the Sims Missionary Baptist Church and will be accepted at the funeral home. 90-year-old Dahlgren resident Eileen Hopfinger died at 7:40 p.m. Thursday at her home. Surviving are six daughters, Kathy Anselman of Dahlgren, Nancy Crossman of Atwood, Illinois, Luann Talbert of Charlotte, North Carolina, Linda Becker of McLeansboro, Brenda Thomas of McLeansboro, and Lori Hopfinger of McLeansboro. Two sons, Melvin Hopfinger of Dahlgren and Dale Hopfinger of Dahlgren. A sister-in-law, Helen Whelan. 19 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. A private family mass of Christian burial will be held Tuesday for the family at St. John Baptist Catholic Church in Piopolis. Visitation from 5 to 8 p.m. Monday at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Burial will be in St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Piopolis. Memorials can be made to St. John the Baptist Catholic Cemetery in Piopolis, the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro in charge of the arrangements. 78-year-old McLeansboro resident Luanna Prince died Wednesday. Surviving are three children, brothers Roy and Ray Hutchison, 11 grandchildren, and several great-grandchildren. Services for Luanna Prince will be held at 11 a.m. today at Digby Cemetery in Dale. The memorials can be made to Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church and will be accepted at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro, which is in charge of the arrangements. 85-year-old Carmi resident Betty Jo Bayless died Wednesday. Surviving are children Kim and Jana Bayless, brother Dale Medlin, two grandchildren and one great-grandchild. Services for Betty Jo Bayless will be at 2 p.m. Sunday at the Cook Funeral Chapel in Carmi. Visitation from 4 to 7 this evening. Memorials can be made to the First United Methodist Church and will be accepted at the Cook Funeral Chapel. A reminder, if you missed any of our obituaries, they're updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Darren Caudill reporting.
You saved, you scrimped, and finally that hot new car is yours and you're in love. Just make sure she's insured with the best auto coverage you can find. Talk to your local Pekin insurance agent about complete auto coverage, and don't forget to ask about the variety of discounts available for your sweet ride. Request a quote at PekinInsurance.com. In Flora and Sisney, contact Bill Atwood at 662-7000 and put their beyond the expected service to work for you.
In the past, Wabash Communications Co-op required a phone line in order to get our internet service, but no more. We now offer internet-only plans featuring fast and reliable connections at a great value. Wabash offers speeds up to 1 gig. That's not the only good news. Our internet-only plans also come with free installation and the support of our local technicians and customer service. To get internet-only, you only have to call 618-665-3311. Service speeds and availability will depend on location. Contact us for details.
Here is a look at the weather forecast. Today, sunny skies, forecast high 87, though some areas may get to about the 90-degree mark. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and storms, partly cloudy, a low of 68. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and storms, otherwise partly sunny, forecast high 89. Looking ahead to Monday, a 40% chance of showers and storms, a mostly sunny, forecast high 92. Tuesday, a 60% chance of showers and storms, otherwise partly sunny, a few degrees cooler, high of 88. Wednesday, showers and storms likely, partly sunny, forecast high 86. And then Thursday, a chance of showers and storms, partly sunny, high of 87. Yesterday's high in Fairfield was 84. Our low this morning was 61. And currently in Fairfield, underneath sunny skies, it is 66.